Thank you very much. My name is John Barlean. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety day is April Fool's Day, 1990. And I owe that strong sponsorship and a surrender that I wasn't able to make. I thank Rick for asking me to speak, but he knew I was speaking, so he didn't show up. I know the tradition in this group that everybody, you know, they keep it a secret who's coming, so everybody comes expecting to see some great speaker, and I want to apologize for that right now. I want to thank Roy and Steve for doing a great job. Thanks, guys. So, we come from a retreat, the Northwest Recovery Group. My home group, by the way, is the Northwest Recovery Group. We meet over on Olson Road on Tuesday nights at 7:30. It's big book study, and when you come to that meeting, you will be greeted by everybody in the room, and you will be made feel welcome, and you will hear the solution at my home group, and you're welcome to come. Not everybody at once, but you're all welcome to come. We don't have a room, nothing like this. But I sobered up in Montana. I was a transplant to Portland. I came out here about 11 years ago. The company I was working for asked me to come out here to do a 10-week job, and I'm still here. I'm a construction worker. I'm an iron worker. Been that for 34 years, and we drank hard and we played hard, and of course we thought we were the only ones that drink hard and play hard, but since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, everybody drinks hard and plays hard, and you just chipped away a little bit at my uniqueness. And you know, if you're new here tonight, I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're sitting out there and you're scared to death, it's all right. And if you're a tough guy, it's all right. Yeah, the tougher you are, the more afraid you are. I found that out when I got here. I didn't know that. I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, I didn't know. And my sponsor understood that. When I finally got to where I was able to get a sponsor, he understood that I didn't know and it was okay. If you would have put a lie detector on me when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and asked me what I was afraid of, I'd have told you I ain't afraid of nothing or nobody. And I lived my life that way. And then I got into that four-step, and I found out I was scared to death of everything. Absolutely scared to death of everything. And the biggest fear I had was just that fear of rejection that I'd experienced my whole life. That I just had to be whatever it was that I thought you wanted me to be so that I could just be in the same room with you. It forced me to do incredibly stupid things so that I could feel like I fit in. It forced me to do things that caused me a tremendous amount of shame and guilt and remorse. And then I would have to drink because I did those things, because I didn't want to think about them things that I had just done. I was pretty lucky because we grew up in the oil field and we moved around. We had never been in a town over 4 years. Seemed like, you know, the oil boom lasts about 4 years in one area, and by then I had done something that I needed to move away for because you knew those things, or you know, my family just wore them people out, and so we moved around a lot, and it was a good thing because I couldn't face who and what I was for very long, You guys know what happened when I took my first drink. I was 12 years old, and we were at a Great Northern picnic in Glacier National Park. And this buddy of mine, his dad worked for Great Northern Railroad, and Byron and I were standing there with a glass of Coke, and his dad walked by and dumped some Everclear in our glass, and the light came on. That deal that happens to alcoholics, it happened to me with that Everclear, and I followed Ralph around the rest of the day trying to get some more. I want some more of that Everclear, but he wouldn't give me. But I chased that feeling for the next, you know, I don't know, 20 some years, whatever it was, and you know what happened. you know, it turned on me like a double-edged sword, like the book talks about, and cut me to ribbons. And I used to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I would talk about all the things that I lost. But when I look at it now, it's, you know, I give up everything that I had. I give it away because it was in the way of my drinking. And if, you know, it's funny how all them people out there, they always took that crap personal. You know, it's like, you know, I didn't mean to sleep with your wife. You know, I didn't intend to do that when we went to the bar, but you passed out, and you know, and things just happened. And my dad always told me when I was a kid, he used to tell me, "Boy, the road to hell is paved with good intentions." And I used to think, "What is he talking about?" And I know today. And he used to say something else that was profound today, but he used to tell me all the time. He'd say, "Boy, you know, the sun just don't rise and set in your ass." I thought he's crazy, but he was telling me I was selfish, self-centered. And if my sponsor says something like that today, I understand that. But I, you know, I haven't had to take a drink or do any drugs or use any mood-altering women since I got a sponsor and started following his directions to the letter. I haven't had to go back out. That's, you know, that's not my experience. I was on dry drunk for 3.5 years, and if you're a newcomer and you don't have a sponsor and you ain't got a home group and you ain't got a job in that home group, and you ain't working the steps out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's my experience, you are not in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sorry. And that's why I can't tell you that I went back out, because that would imply that I had been in. And I come here and I was going to these meetings in this little town and there was, I don't know, 12 or 14 of us trying to stay sober. And we'd go to meetings and we'd talk about the problem, because that's all we knew. And occasionally we would read the book, and I could see in there where it talked to, you know, when it talked about the allergy, I knew what it was talking. It was, you know, once I take a drink, I can't quit. Once I take a drink, I'm going to continue to drink until something outside of me stops me from drinking. And I knew what they were talking about when they talked about that. But that deal, my life being unmanageable by me, was bogus. I had this plan. I looked back and I saw the money that I was spending on, that I was, you know, investing in lots and houses, lots of booze and whorehouses. And I could see where, if I'm not spending that money on that stuff anymore, so in about 6 months' time, I'll be straightened out. I'll be on Easy Street, no problem. And so I ended up going to this treatment center in Helena, Montana, because my ex-wife was in treatment, because she was just crazy from living with me. I went to her family days, and there was about 25 guys in there that did a 12-step call on me, and I swore that I was never going to drink again when I left there. I sat there for 3 days and just bawled like a baby. It was the first time in my life that I'd ever had to sit still and honestly take a look at who and what I was and what I'd been doing to the people around me for all those years. And I just bawled like a baby. And I swore when I left there that I was never going to drink again. And they tried to talk me into staying. They kind of figured I needed to be there. I was severely hungover when I got there. But I said, no, I can handle this. Well, they said, you need a sponsor. I said, well, I'll go back around up and get a sponsor. And that didn't work. But I did go, and I went to one or two meetings a week, and we read the book, and we talked about the problem, and I read in there where it said, you got to have that power greater than yourself that will restore you to sanity. And I'd always kind of figured I was nuts. But, you know, and that's another thing. It's my dad, I don't know, I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I remember Dad, he apparently thought he was crazy, because he went to a shrink, and I remember I was standing in the living room when he came home from that psychiatrist, and he came in the house, and he was just happier than hell. He said, Betty Lou, he said, that psychiatrist told me that as long as you think you're crazy, you ain't crazy. Said, crazy people don't know they're crazy. And... I hung on to that one. And, uh, And, you know, I remember that like it was yesterday. So I, so anyway, I swore I was going to quit drinking, and I made it about 6 weeks. It was a week before Thanksgiving, 1986. And I went out on I had a sore back. And the guy I was working with had some Valium. And he said, well, these will help. And so I said, okay. And a couple of days later, I come to and I said, yeah, God, here we go again. I did the same thing that I'd always done, and I swore I was never going to do it. So I swore off again. And I haven't had a drink since then. But I had to get on a marijuana maintenance program for a little while. I just needed some relief after, about a year and a half of doing it my way. Not drinking, but wanting to, with no solution. My wife was a devout Catholic, and she sang in the church choir, and she was real active in the church. So I thought, well, I'll go find that power greater than myself. So I started singing in the church choir. One of the guys in the church choir really took a liking to me. And it was a spiritual experience doing that deal. It really was. I could not get up there and sing in that church choir without crying. Because it was, and especially when we sang Amazing Grace. That one choked me up yet today. So Gene took an interest in me, and he said, I know what you need. He said, you need to join the Knights of Columbus. And then a couple of priests started liking me pretty good, so they started praying for me, and they twisted the rules a little bit, so I didn't have to go through all the lessons, and they baptized me Catholic, gave me First Communion, stuck me in the Knights of Columbus, and I went all the way to Fourth Degree Knight of Columbus, and these are spiritual experiences that I'm having, and every time that I'd have one of these spiritual experiences, it'd be, just a few days later, I'm right back where I started, or worse. The book says it's a progressive illness, and without the recovery program that's in the book, it progresses with me, whether I drink or not. I just kept getting more crazy and more angry and more frustrated, and I just couldn't figure out, what is my problem? I just couldn't get it. And my wife and my kids are, they just ain't wanting to be around me. I'm so angry, and God, I hate myself. I just can't stand doing what I am. I've got all this stuff, all them things that I did to try to fit in with you and with other people, and there's, and they're all right there. All of them are right there, and what do you do? I had no idea. I'd been baptized, and I knew that God had forgiven me my sins. I knew that I was okay in that deal. But I just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and then Gene says, well, you need to go to Crucio. So I went to Crucio. It's a weekend retreat that they do. And then they have these deals. It's just like this. It's a once a month. They have this Ultrea. It's a speaker meeting is what it is, where people go and they talk about how they have taken these actions and used the Bible to help other people. And God has saved them from whatever it is that they needed saved from. And I would go to those things and just be miserable. We ended up, and she was pretty sick of me and my anger, and she'd booted me out one more time, and she said, well, she said, Father DiOrio is going to be in Billings. She said, I think he's a faith healer. She said, I think we need to go see Father DiOrio. So we went to, God, I didn't want to go to that deal. We went to We drove over to Billings from Roundup. It's about 50 miles, and we went in the metro there in Billings, Montana, and everybody's sitting on the south side. All these people, it's like half of Billings is there, and not very many people over on the west end. So I drug her over there, and we sat over there where nobody else was, and didn't want to be around them Jesus freaks, But he's down there, and they got this stage, and the curtain's all set up, and he's calling people down, and the lame are going down, and the sick are, and the lame are walking, and the sick are healed, and the deaf are hearing, and he's touching them on the forehead, and they're falling down doing the fish, and they're dragging them behind the curtain until they come to it. And these people with all this faith are getting healed. And, And he said, now he said, we're going to talk about booze and drugs and illicit affairs. And he said, I believe there's a man in the audience. I believe he's dressed in gray cowboy boots and gray slacks. A gray belt and a yellow shirt. And you know, and the hair just stood up on the back of my head. And he said, I believe his name is John. He said, John, if you're in the audience, would you come down? And I didn't move. And I stood there and held my wife's hand, and I bawled like a baby. And, you know, all them people were going down there and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and being healed. And I stood there and just bawled and rained it out in my mind that I was filled with the Holy Spirit that day when I was standing in there. And I left there and I told my wife, I said, man, I got to be cured. This has got to be it. And 3 days later, I mean, to the minute, it just seemed like 3 days later, the insanity settled back in, the anger settled back in. It was just way more intense and way worse. And the thing that I know that happened that day is I know that the obsession to drink was lifted that day. And as I got into Alcoholics Anonymous and I progressed into the steps, I finally came to understand that when I look back on that deal, I know today that if I had Jesus Christ Himself for a sponsor, and I did not get in that book and work them 12 steps like they're laid out in that big book, this program would not work for me. And if you're new here tonight and you don't have a sponsor and you ain't in that book, for God's sakes, get a sponsor and get in that book. If you're an alcoholic like me, because this deal is not going to work if you don't. And that's just my experience. That's what happened to me. And so that deal didn't work. And this group, these big book thumpers from Billings were coming over to Roundup, and they were going to have a workshop on sponsorship. And so my wife told me she thought we should participate in that. And so I said, well, all right. I didn't want to go to that deal. And but I went down there, and we showed up, and you know, and there's about 12 of these guys from this recovery group in Billings, Montana, and they're all standing out there, and they're laughing, and they're joking, and you know, and they just got that enthusiasm for Alcoholics Anonymous, and it, you know, and I used to, they're them guys that they'd hurry up, and they'd get to the conferences, and they'd get to the speaker meetings and stuff, and they'd sit in the front row, and they're hollering and clapping and cheering and getting in line first to thank the speakers. And I used to tell my wife, yeah, them are the speaker suck asses there. That's and I hated them. And so they were sitting there and they're doing this workshop, and I'm sitting in the back of that church, and I'm dying. I'm at the jumping off place that the book talks about. I can't imagine life without alcohol, and I can't imagine life without alcohol. I just can't go on. I can't do this deal anymore. And you know, there might be a God that's working in your life, but He ain't doing nothing for me. You know, I've done everything in the Catholic Church but become a priest, by God, and it just ain't working. And I'm nuts. And I'm truly nuts. I thought my hearing was just going bad. So I sat in that workshop on sponsorship, and those guys sat up there and talked about their sponsor and what they do when they sponsor people. And there's this one guy in there, and he's sitting on a chair, and he's leaned back on them two legs. I wish you could have seen that. I can tell the ones that ain't been shot at before. The rest of us never flinched. You're going to hit me or you ain't. It don't matter. But this guy sat up there with his arms folded across his chest, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, I sponsor people. He said, I ask them to shave and cut their hair, clean up and look like they're sober, but just instant resentment. I hate it. And we left there that day, and I told my wife, I said, that arrogant son of a bitch over there will never be my sponsor. and he still is today. And you know what happened? God surrendered me to a guy I hated. And that's what had to happen, because I did not have it within me to surrender. I just did not have it within me. We ended up at a conference. She got this Al-Anon sponsor that day, and she was doing what her sponsor told her to do for a couple of months, and I could see things changing. And I mean, the bad thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is it just works too quick, too good. And the same thing happens with Al-Anon. If, you know, you jump in there and I start taking the actions, and things are going to change. So I saw things changing with her, so I copped this resentment against her sponsor. We ended up at a conference in Great Falls, and I'm going to line her sponsor out. You know, I don't know if you've ever sat down and tried to line out a black belt Al-Anon. It don't work. We were there, and we were at the dance, and I saw Alice sitting across there at one of those tables, and I went over there and sat down, and I said, "Do you mind if I tell you a few things?" And I'll bet I sat there for a good 7 or 8 minutes, never got a word in edgeways. Not one word. And I have no idea what she said, but I'm sitting there, and I'm getting madder and madder and madder. And I look across the dance floor, and I said, there's John Scott. I'm going to knock him out. And I got up from that table and I headed for him. And every fiber of my being was going to knock him out because I hated him. I walked up to him, my fists were clenched, and it just fell out of my mouth like, "Will you be my sponsor?" I could not believe I said that. And then I kind of caught my senses a little bit, and I said, "But I got to tell you, I hate your goddamn guts." He put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, "When we get back to Billings," he said, "you come to my home group, and we'll go out for coffee, and we'll talk about it." And we got back to Billings, and I went over to his home group on a Friday night, and he took me out to coffee. And he agreed to be my sponsor. He saved my life that night. Because if he'd done to me what everybody did to me my whole life, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Because, I was at that place where suicide was just a way better option. My only problem, I just didn't have the guts that Roy had. I mean, I grew up with Roy. I knew how he shot. He never was a good shot. We did a lot of hunting together. but he lined me out, and he told me, he said, "You know, if you just do these things," he said, "I guarantee you, I promise you that your life will get good in spite of you, if you just do these few simple things." He said, "You know, I need you to," he said, I need you to agree that my wisdom about your life is infinitely wiser than yours." And I said, "Yeah. You know, what do you say when you're sitting there and you want to blow your head off?" You know, and he looks like he's got his ducks in a row. I agreed. He said, "You need to agree that you're willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol." I agreed. I had no idea what I was agreeing to with that one, but I agreed. And if you're new in here tonight and your sponsor doesn't ask you that question, make him ask you that and agree to it. Because when it comes time to do that fourth step and make them amends and to do those things that a guy like me's got to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm so glad that I told him yeah when he asked me to do that. We just started doing a deal. You know, and he told me I needed to have a home group. He told me what my home group was. He told me what meetings I was going to go to. He told me on Saturday night was a speaker meeting. It's a mandatory speaker meeting. You will wear a coat and tie. I went to Goodwill and bought a coat and tie. And I wore a coat and tie. I didn't like it, didn't agree with it, but I did it. I told him that I was willing to go to any lengths, and that's what I did. You know, he set time aside in his life, and I went over to his house, and he started taking me through that book. And he helped me to understand the disease of alcoholism like I just never understood it before. You know, and that's, and I finally started understanding that, that I was the problem. And the good news is he had the solution for that, and he helped me to see the solution. It hasn't, you know, and it's just, you know, I can't tell you that, the sobriety has been a bowl of cherries, whatever you want to call it. But it's been a blessing. It's just been so good. I've been able to experience this past few months in my life. I have been able to experience a sense of just serenity and a peace of mind that I never knew existed. You know, I'd come here and I'd sit in these meetings and I'd listen to these guys of 25, 30, 35, 40 years and they always say that they just keep suiting up and showing up and they keep doing the things that they were taught to do in the beginning and their life continues to get better. And as good as my life has gotten in the past 17 years, one day at a time, I just can't imagine what it would be like if I just stick around and do them things that them guys told me to do. You know, and everybody, you see in meetings, all some people say, oh, you just got to get back to basics. And it's like, and I've had to get back to basics, but I can't understand, why don't I just stay with the basics? It's, you know, I get to thinking, I get an idea once in a while. And that's, I still have my sponsor today, and I still run them good ideas by him. And I, you know, I don't add anything to my life that takes away from the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't do that. Because I, whatever that is that I add to my life that gets in the way of this deal, I'm going to lose it anyway. I've proven that to myself in the program. And the closest that I've come in 17 years to getting drunk was when I did not follow my sponsor's directions. And I don't want to get any closer than I did one New Year's Eve when I was driving back from Vancouver. I wanted a drink. And I called the guy who in Vancouver who I knew and I respect his sobriety. I respect the program that he works. I said, John, I said, I want a drink. I'm 8 years sober and I was, drinking is a good idea. And it's the first time in my sobriety that drinking was a better idea than blowing my head off. So I was scared. They said, well, the next day was New Year's, and he said, be at my house tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Have an inventory. He said, we're going to go to a meeting at noon. So I was at his house 10 o'clock next morning, had an inventory, and we went to a meeting. He said, when we get in this meeting, he said, you're going to go in there. He said, I know the guy who's chairing. He said, I'm going to make sure you get called on. He said, when you get called on, he said, you're going to stand up and you're going to apologize to Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, because you're a thief. He said, you come here and you get the gift. He said, and then you want to just try to keep it. And you don't want to give it away. I said, okay. I stood up and apologized to Alcoholics Anonymous for being a thief. Because, you know, I'd cut back on meetings and I wasn't sponsoring anybody and just trying to keep the gift. I go to four, at minimum of four meetings a week. The rule was that I went to a minimum of four a week, two of which my sponsor was at. I found out after a couple of weeks into that deal that when he says four, it really means six. But, you know, that was all right. I went, you know, I did that deal for the first 5 years of my sobriety. I was at six, seven meetings a week with my sponsor and with all them other guys that he sponsored and with, you know, just this band of enthusiastic alcoholics, people who the passion for Alcoholics Anonymous was just burning in their guts. And we just went everywhere. Somebody from that group was speaking within 300 or 400 miles, we were there. And if there was a conference within 500 miles, you just got in the truck. They were going to Rapid City. I was only there a couple of weeks and they were going to Rapid City, South Dakota, and I was broke. And my sponsor said, get in the truck. I said, John, I ain't got no money. He said, I didn't ask you any money. Get in the truck. And he had one of them old Chevy Suburbans. It wasn't old. It's old at then. But I was the new guy. And pecking order is in effect. So I sat way in the back, right in the middle, on the hump, all the way to Rapid City. And I, you know, I don't know how many times I just got in the truck. I didn't have the money. And you know, I told my sponsor, I said, John, I don't know how I can never repay you for this. He said, you don't have to. He said, you know, if you stay sober, he said, and them new guys come up and say they ain't got any money, he said, just tell them to get in a truck. And, you know, and by the grace of God, I've been able to do that. And we got into the amends thing, and I told him, I said, John, I got to go bankrupt. And he said, no, I don't think we'll do that. And I said, you don't understand, John. I said, I can't pay my bills. I just don't have the money. He said, no. He said, you owe them people the money. It's their money. You need to pay it. And I argued with, you didn't argue very much with him, but you could kind of disagree a little bit. So I disagreed a little bit. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, Jim's going to be in town next weekend. And he said, we'll talk to Jim about it. That was, his sponsor was, Jim Shaw has passed away now, but he was my grand sponsor, and he was going to be in town, and I thought, yeah, I can talk that old fart into it. Jim came down, and I said, Jim, I said, I got to go bankrupt. He said, no, I don't think we'll do that. I said, you've been talking to John. He said, no, he said, you owe them people money. So I had to sit down and do a budget with a guy who I didn't know and go through that whole deal. And, you know, I was 12 years sober. And you remember my plan when I first sobered up? About 6 months later, I was, 12 years later, I wrote my last check for my financial amends. And the freedom that I have today as a result of doing that is amazing. I can go down the street today and then I can look people in the eye. I haven't slept with your wife. Or your husband, depending on what drugs I'm on, or well, whatever. I haven't sold your kids any drugs. You know, I haven't stolen anything from you. And I get to walk a free man today as a result of 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. The promises that Steve mentioned, they have come true. They have, and they started coming true the minute I started taking directions from my sponsor. They all just, you know, they just started. But it says in there, if. I hate, have you seen them conditional words in that book? If. That's, you know, it sounded like my mom. But if we work for them, they will come true. And they have come true in my life. And in my fifth year of sobriety, with doing the way Alcoholics Anonymous, the way those guys taught me to do it, I was able, it was my fifth year when I was asked to come to Portland and work, and I was scared to death because I knew what I did when I got 100 miles away from home or 20 miles away from home, whatever. I knew what I did, and I was afraid that I was just going to fall back into doing what I always did when I got away from home, I had it planned out because I'd been going to 6-7 meetings a week for 5 years. I was going to come out here and I was going to go to 4 meetings a week, like he said in the beginning. I was going to take a couple nights off and do what I want to do. So when I got here, I had to go to a meeting. So actually it was in Newport, the first job that I did. And so I went to a meeting. It was Thursday night and they met in the library. And, I went to a meeting that first night when I got to Newport. And, but tomorrow night's Friday night. I ain't going to a meeting on Friday night because I'm going to see, you know, I want to see, I never been to Oregon. I want to see Oregon. So I'm sitting in a meeting and this new guy comes in. And, I went up to him after the meeting. I shook his hand. Nobody shook his hand in that meeting. And so I went up and I talked to him after the meeting. And I said, well, what are you doing tomorrow night? And I was like, damn. And So we went to a meeting Friday night. And then Saturday night, I went to a meeting every night the whole time I was in Newport. And then we ended up, you know, and Sylvia's showed up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And we just started doing Alcoholics Anonymous the way I was taught to do Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I looked around me one night and there was about 12 or 14 of us and we're sitting at coffee. And we built this little fellowship that we crave. And we're just, you know, and there's a little pocket of enthusiasm sitting at a coffee shop night after night after night talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and talking about the 12 steps. And And I'll tell you what happened in that deal for me. You know, Johnny Harris talks about having to cross lines in Alcoholics Anonymous all the time. And what happened to me in that deal is when I was in Billings and I was with all them guys and we were going to 6-7 meetings a week and just running together on the weekends and just, we're busy. It's easy to stay sober in that environment. It really is, if you want sobriety at all. And it's easy to believe in God when you're in that. But when you get removed from that, and they take that security blanket away from you. Now, what I had to do then is I had to start relying on God. I believed in God. I believe God is working in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that today. But what I had to do is I crossed that line where I quit believing in God and I started really relying on God and the 12 steps to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new here tonight, my 30 minutes up, if you're new here tonight, and you don't think that there's God in Alcoholics Anonymous that will work in your life, that's all right. Because I didn't think that there was. But you got to believe, you've got to believe one thing. And that is that there is a power in these rooms, whatever it is, that keeps people like me and you from blowing our heads off. Or keeps us from taking that next drink. Or keeps us from, you know, homicide and suicide. That's an option every day. I still have an alcoholic mind. But there is a power in these rooms that will work if I just get on my knees and pray to that power twice a day. I read something out of that book every day. I call my sponsor on a regular basis. Go to a minimum of 4 meetings a week, and I don't drink between meetings. It still works today. Thank you very much.